I'm a fun
you
guy.
You have fun when they finish below 500.
I'm just Captain Fun.
I guess.
Or a captain suit, the show from now on.
I don't like the half point.
Well, that's called the hook.
I don't like it.
What the hook?
How do you get rid of it? Can you get rid of the hook?
I'm going to have a coronary. I'm getting too old for this job, but you guys may have won.
Upset. If you look back at where the term came from, it was from a horse race. Upset.
When did you turn into Cliff Clavin?
I like this job. I've had it for a long time, Paul.
Last one.
This
point.
Is in the chemistry lab.
You're on the verge of next year's Super Bowl.
I can't help what I think. Be honest, Paulie. You're not doing this for other people's entertainment. You are truly enjoying this.
This is Orange Nation. With Stephen Fonte and Paulie Sibilia.
Good afternoon, everyone. Glad to have you with us. Alongside Paulie Sibilia, I'm Stephen Fonte as we welcome you into a Thursday edition of Orange Nation. Happy Cinco de Mayo, everyone.
You too, Steve.
Lucas Favalli, play-by-play man of the Syracuse Crunch, joining us at 12:15. Mike Monaco, play-by-play man for ESPN. He'll be calling the Capitals-Panthers series on ESPN. We'll talk some Stanley Cup playoffs with Mike at 12:30. And then coming up at 1:40, we've got Christy Dosh from Forbes, sports business reporter for Forbes magazine. She'll join us to talk NIL. That should be an interesting conversation. Plus, we'll mix in your phone calls at 315-437-7644.
Yeah, there's people out there trying to stop these conglomerations from building. No,
I think something's got to be done. It's, you know, you go from the athletes not getting paid to then cost of attendance to, you know, stipend to now, you know, you're talking about millions of dollars to go play football or basketball somewhere. I do think something needs to be done so this doesn't truly become, you know, professional sports free agency. But we'll get to Christy coming up towards the end of the show. I know you wanted to start with SU football, a variation of a topic we were discussing yesterday.
You ever say something on the radio and just sit back and go, well, I got to revise that?
Yeah, definitely.
You know, I need to come back and revise that.
Definitely.
Because I think as Syracuse fans, you don't want to see Syracuse playing Penn State unless that's the only Power 5 they're playing in the preseason. I thought of something. There's one guy in Central New York that doesn't give a crap that Penn State is on the schedule in 5 years.
And who is that other than Paulie Sibilia?
No, I care.
Oh, you care?
I'm very upset by it. I believe it's one Dino Babers that does not care that Penn State is on the schedule, because he's either going to have the ship righted and he's going to roll into Happy Valley and make it a not-so-happy valley because he's fixed things here at Syracuse, or he's wiping his brow because he doesn't have to play Penn State with the recruits that you can get at Syracuse University.
Yeah. I think that is spot on.
Thank you.
Because if he's still the coach,
things are going good.
If he's still the coach by 2027, that's going to be, you would think that they are able to compete with Penn State at that point.
Right.
And if he's not the coach, like you said, it's not his problem.
Yes.
Somebody else's problem. I will buy that. We start the show today. Yesterday we started with a disagreement. I will start today with an agreement. I agree with that. Yeah, he doesn't care
know
about
what to
this
do.
Series.
I don't know what to do, Steve. We are agreeing. This isn't any fun.
Well, this comes on the heels of one of our loyal listeners, CBW, from our chat on Q Sports Talk, sent us the top 25, you know, obviously it's very early, but 24/7 Sports put out their preseason or their off-season top 25. And from a Syracuse perspective, it's not great.
Yeah.
It's not great.
5 years ago, Dino Babers was not happy with this scheduling.
Yeah. three teams show up in the top 10. Clemson at 5, Notre Dame at 6, NC State at 10. Wake Forest checks in at number 13.
I'm not saying it's over for Clemson, but are you buying them at number 5 right now?
What do you mean buying them at number 5?
Last year, they were terrible on offense.
Yeah, I think it's you need a quarterback to win in the game of football at a high level, and you know their quarterback situation
it's
right
not
now
like Dabo's
is a question mark.
Scared to tell a kid to hit the road either in the middle of the season.
Yeah,
you know?
We've seen that. Yeah.
Right in the middle of a Syracuse game.
Am I buying Clemson at 5? Everybody's got a down year here and there.
But their offense is
The offense bad. Is bad, but it's his job to make it not bad.
Like, I'm not saying they're not a top 10 program.
It's kind of like with, like, Virginia basketball, right? Like, you get to a point where you expect them to be really good every year, and then they have a down year. Like, well, what's up? You know, Tony Bennett will figure it out. Dabo's going to figure it out. So, you know, are they the fifth best team in the country? I think they're certainly a top 10 program, right? I mean,
and according to this website, Syracuse has the number 5, the number 6, and the number 10 team preseason going into the.
Yeah, and I didn't finish the list because you jumped in, but Wake Forest 13, Pittsburgh 18. I mean, we're not even talking, like, they're on SU schedule.
Yeah.
So this is, it's going to be difficult. There's no doubt about it, and we know that. I've said that before, and I know people get on me when I say that they could be better next year but have the same record. It's true.
Could they be better and have a worse record, Steve? How about that?
Oof.
Is that plausible? Is that something that's
plausible? Plausible,
Paulie? Is that possible?
I think next year's schedule is more difficult than last year's schedule. So, I mean... It's hard to say a worse record. And I'm not going to go there. I don't think you can have
Thank
a worse.
You.
No, you can't do that.
Thank you, Steve.
This year's schedule's tougher, though, I think, than last year's schedule. Would you agree with that?
Yeah. So they have 5 ranked teams. That gives them, what, 7 opportunities to get 6 wins? Am I doing the math right? I'm not going to.
and you look at the way that the schedule. I was half listening to you. What did you say?
Did I do the math? How many?
So if you lose those 5, then yes, you would have 7. You would have to go 6-1
in the other
7. And the way that the schedule shakes out, Paulie, 4 of those games are all in a row without a week off. So you're coming off of your bye week. So you got Wagner. Then you go into your bye week. They're going to have home for NC State, at Clemson, home for Notre Dame, at Pittsburgh. Back to back to back to back.
You know what's crazy? That Louisville game to start the season is going to say a hell of a lot about this season. That is a must win to get to a bowl game to start off the season.
And again, that's provided that the preseason rankings are spot on, and that, you know, and we have no reason to believe Pitt's not going to be, you know, obviously they lost Kenny Pickett, but they bring in a transfer from USC. I mean, they're going to be good.
Clemson will not be as vulnerable, and you're playing at Clemson, so that's off the table.
I mean, Notre Dame is Notre Dame. And they're all in a row too. So I mean, you come out of that bye week, you're staring at in all likelihood a 4-game losing streak before you take on Florida State.
The good news is though, Steve, Syracuse could potentially be 5-0 rolling into that NC State game, right? Louisville, UConn, Purdue, Virginia, Wagner.
I mean, that's a good way to look at it. And then you just need one more.
Then you only need one win.
You got to find one more.
Against NC State, Clemson, Notre Dame, Pittsburgh, Florida State, Wake, and BC.
Yeah, and Wake and BC both on the road to close out the year. Wake 13th in that poll that we just put out there.
Go 5-0 and then win the last game of the season. That's a good year. I'd take that right now, Steve.
Man, I don't know. I mean, yes, you would take 6-6.
They need that 6 win, and they end Florida State at home, and you're hoping Florida State is the Florida State of the past 3 years, right? And not
obviously
on the up.
Yeah.
Wake Forest, at Wake Forest, and then at BC. It's not an easy schedule, Steve.
I just said that.
It's not.
You are
correct.
It's tougher than last year. It is.
But I'm looking at it, and I found 6 wins.
Right, but again, you're giving them 6 of the 7. Well, we can't say all 7 are toss-up games. I wouldn't consider UConn or Wagner a toss-up game. But the other 5, right? So you've got 5 against ranked opponents. You got 2 that you should win. And we'll even for the sake of argument, throw Virginia in that mix. We'll even say the Virginia. I don't know how we could say that, but we'll throw.
Oh, we can.
We'll throw Virginia into that mix.
It has
to. So that takes 3 off the table in games you should win. That takes 5 off the table games you should lose. So that leaves another 4, and you're saying that they're going to go 3-1 in those games.
They have to, Steve. If the coaching staff wants to be here next year or the following year and to play Penn State in 2027, they got to do it, right?
Yeah, and you're right. One of those toss-up games is right off the bat, home against Louisville, September 3rd. You have to win that game.
It would be hard to sell this fan base another if you lose 5-7 season, right?
I was going to say it'd be hard to sell them on this season if you lose that game.
It is at home. It's early on. And you roll from there. That my easiest path to a 6-win season is going 5-0 to start the year.
So all they have to do is go 5-0 to start.
Yes, beat Purdue in Louisville.
Beat Louisville, yeah. And Virginia too.
Hey, I mean, they have such a great track record against Louisville too. It's so easy for me to say this.
Yeah. So they just start 5-0, then they go into their bye week, then they lose the next four, so they're 5-4 with three left, and they just got to win one of the last three. That's all they have to do. That's all they have to do.
Yeah.
It's that simple, Paulie.
Or you just sneak one against the number 10, 5, or 6 team in the country.
I'm just going to throw this out there. Purdue was 9-4 last year.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
You're chalking it. And they beat Tennessee in the bowl game.
You have to win, though, Steve.
Yeah,
you
have to find, all they have to do
you
got to
find 5 wins somewhere.
I know. I know, but again.
I think Purdue's easier than Notre Dame and Clemson.
Well, yeah. Yeah, they are. They are.
Okay, so they lose. Okay, I'll give you 4-1, all right? And then you just win two of the last three. How's that? Steve, does that sound better?
Sure.
Okay. Is that an easier path? The path of least resistance is you beat Florida State.
I think 4-1 is more realistic than 5-0. Because right off the bat, you're saying that they're going to beat Louisville.
But then
you have
to beat Purdue or Louisville.
Well, right. I'm saying you win one of those. I think realistically, you're probably going to drop one in the first five. So you're 4-1.
Oh, it would be. Oh, it'll be like Notre Dame will have fans, but the rest of the, like, is Purdue going to draw people if they lose to Louisville? Is Virginia going to draw Wagner? Well, NC State, it's going to be a tough. They got to beat that. They got to win against Louisville. They got to show.
Yeah, they do.
Because you can't take anything.
Mark it down right now. May 5th, we have circled that game as a must win. The opener is a must win.
If you
we
beat
decided
UConn,
on May 5th.
That shows nothing.
Right.
It would be nice if they could have scheduled UConn first or Wagner first.
Well, that's I think ideally that's what you want. But we've seen, the ACC has been putting a game on opening weekend.
How is that
quite a bit.
Captain Obvious breakdown of the Syracuse schedule? Because if these top 10 rankings pan out, it's going to be hard to beat NC State, Notre Dame, or Clemson, right? And you play those three right in a row.
Yeah. And it pits in that stretch as well. I'll go back to what I said. I think it's possible you could be better but have the same record. Nobody wants to hear that, though, and that's not going to be good enough.
I don't think the coaching staff wants to hear
that. No, nobody wants to hear it.
Yeah.
Nobody wants to hear it. But the schedule is
I have faith in them. They're going to find 6 wins this year. And I did.
I think you said that last year, too.
You quiet. We don't need faith. We don't talk facts on this show. No, I think they will. I have faith in them.
Good. Win that game. Win that opener.
5-0, bro.
Set the tone.
5-0, and then all you got to do is steal one win.
That's all you got to do. That's all you got to do. 5-0, that's all you got to do.
Beat your rival BC is.
I mean, that's the easiest path, as you said, quote unquote. But starting 5-0 is not going to be easy.
I would probably say the easiest path would be 4-1, and then you hope to beat.
Maybe steal one in that.
You're not.
No, you're not going to steal one.
Come on, okay. All right. Keep it. Right. We're doing the Captain Obvious version.
Extra week to prepare for NC State.
Oh, yeah.
Coming off the bye week.
Let's settle down.
Rested.
My tune may change if they are 5-0. I'll be guns ablaze.
Be a packed dome for that.
Oh, rocking.
For the Wolf Pack and the Orange. Family weekend inside the building we used to call the Carrier Dome.
I think they're going to get 6 wins this year.
Okay.
And it's all on the arm of Garrett Schrader, right?
At this point, yes.
Let's or the go.
Legs. The legs and I'm all legs in. And the arm.
I'm all in. If it was okay for me to wager on such a thing, I would do it.
You would do it.
I would feel safe.
I don't think you would have to do that.
And six.
My get. Do you think the line would be at 5.5? I think
no,
it
was, four.
Yeah, I was gonna say it's gonna be lower. Yeah. I don't think you would have to put a wager on six. All right, we've got Lucas Favalli set to join us next. The Crunch beginning their Calder Cup playoff run tomorrow.
Yes, you can follow the Crunch all the way through the playoffs right here on ESPN Radio Syracuse. And if you're a Comets fan in Utica, you can catch all the games on K-Rock 94.9 out in Utica.
Let's talk some AHL hockey next with Lucas Favalli.
We will talk Comets next week when they have... when they have their matchup set.
That's right. They're resting right
yes.
now. They're waiting. They got a first round bye. Crunch in action tomorrow against Laval. We'll talk with Lucas Favalli on the other side. Back after this on ESPN Radio.
ESPN 97.7 and 100.1. Watch live on QSportsTalk.com.
This is Orange Nation.
Stephen Pauly back with you here on Orange Nation. As promised, we go to our guest line to bring on our first guest today. He is the voice of the Syracuse Crunch as the Syracuse Crunch begin the Calder Cup playoffs tomorrow night, 7 o'clock at the War Memorial. Lucas Favalli, our guest on the show. And Lucas, before we get into the playoffs, I just want to start with this season, if we could. You know, COVID year cut the season short 2 years ago. Last year there was no playoffs. What was it like this year getting fans back in the stands and the way that this team, you know, finished the regular season strong? What has this year been like for the organization and I guess for the fan base as well?
Yeah, well, thanks for having me. We're so excited for the playoffs, but you're right. Excuse me. It was a what a season indeed. Like you talk about the last couple of years and they were just so unusual. Last year in particular, when we knew going into it there'd be no fans, and what the Crunch played 32 games, 16 at home, and just to have nobody here, it just was surreal. To get through that season was great, and then you come into this season, and the expectation was it was going to be, you know, there might be some ups and downs, and there certainly were from a COVID perspective. The Crunch had a three-week layoff with COVID postponements and whatnot in December, and but just the return of the fans, and it was kind of incremental. We had the vaccine mandate in place at the start of the year, and as typically happens, the crowds get bigger as the season goes along anyway. And I think everyone in this city was ready and eager to return to this building. And you know, we kind of called it a family reunion at the start of the year because all these Crunch season ticket holders hadn't really been together in a couple of years, and that was kind of the way it was at the start of the year. And then you get down to business and the team got better and better as the year went along. And they were not great at the start of the year. They had a lot of injuries and some recalls to Tampa Bay. And you know, by the end of it, they were just so dominant at home as they typically end up being. But it was the best we've ever seen. A 12-game home winning streak to end the year before the final game of the season against Laval with a Crunch arresting a number of guys. So there was just so many twists and turns and ups and downs. And here they are at the end of the day, finishing second place in the division and home ice advantage in the first round. And I think, you know, if you ask a lot of the people who are watching the Crunch, a lot of the people around the team that, you know, a month or two ago, if that was possible, I think a lot of people would have said probably not. There were some teams that were well ahead of them in the standings, and the Crunch were just at that point looking to get in the playoffs. It was such an exciting playoff chase. And yet here they are with home ice advantage and a very exciting first-round matchup.
All right, so for our listeners who aren't aware, give us an idea of what this playoff format is like, because it is a little bit different this year with, you know, five teams from the division making the playoffs.
Yeah, well, you're right. And I slipped up. I said it was a first-round matchup with the Crunch. It's officially a second-round matchup here in the North Division semifinals. So right now you've got a first-round series going on, a best-of-three between Belleville and Rochester. That started yesterday. The winner of that faces Utica in the best-of-five North Division semifinals. That's where the Crunch are already. So that starts tomorrow and Saturday, of course, here in Syracuse, and we'd love to see everyone out here for the games this weekend. So that's where it starts for the Crunch, the best-of-five North Division semifinals. The winner of that series will face either Utica, Belleville, or Rochester in the North Division finals. New this year, that's also a best-of-five series. It had been best-of-seven over the last, really for quite a long time. So those are best of five. Then once you get to the conference finals, it's best of seven. And then, of course, the Calder Cup finals is also best of seven. So for the crunch, because they're already in the North Division semifinals, they only need 14 wins. And I say only if that's easy, but they need 14 wins to win the Calder Cup. And so the crunch, going with their playoff team this year of one for all, one spelled out, four with the numeral four, and then all, that's the hashtag. So you can follow along for that, and obviously it signifies the 14 wins the crunch need to capture the Calder Cup. So a little wonky this year with the expanded playoffs, but the crunch are in a very good spot, right back in the best of five North Division semifinals.
You know, we had Howard Dolgan on Bridge Street earlier today, and he brought up the point, it was a good one, that outside of the crunch, the other four teams in the division that made the playoffs, the parent clubs of those teams did not make the Stanley Cup playoffs. The crunch is the only one with a parent club in the Stanley Cup playoffs. Does that hinder Syracuse at all? You know, the fact that Tampa Bay is obviously alive and they picked up a big win last night, evened up their series. Does that hurt Syracuse's chances at all?
I don't know if it hurts their chances, but it doesn't help their chances, I guess. I mean, the crunch, right now they're the only team that are losing players, and they only lost one. It's a significant one in Riley Nash, who's here since the trade deadline, but he got called up to Tampa Bay at the end of the regular season, and that means every other team is not worried about players getting called up. They're getting reinforcements back. Laval got a couple of guys down from Montreal. Belleville, Rochester got loaded up from their clubs. Ottawa and Buffalo and New Jersey sent guys down to Utica. So the crunch, I mean, it's a hurdle that they have to overcome. We've seen this in the past. 2018 was actually the first year that the crunch and their parent club won a playoff series in the same year. It's not easy to do because, you know, the parent club is obviously worried about what they're, you know, they've got to deal with potential injuries and have guys and be ready to go up top. So it's a hurdle for the crunch. You know, you also have to consider the fact that the teams in this division, their parent clubs have not been good for a number of years. So they've added up a ton of prospects just in general over the last few years. So they've already been kind of loaded up a bit. And we know what the Lightning have done the last few years, winning, you know, Stanley Cups. So we've been very fortunate that the Crunch have been as good as they've been while the Lightning have been as good as they've been. It's not easy to do that at both levels. The Crunch and the Lightning have been able to do that. And so it is a hurdle for the Crunch. I would say the cards are stacked a little bit against them because of that, but I don't think the Crunch are going to use that as an excuse. I don't think the Lightning would use that as an excuse here in Syracuse either. And I think the players here are very capable. There's still a lot of depth in this organization, and they are ready to get down to business starting tomorrow.
All right, so this team had won 12 straight games at home until the regular season finale when Laval beat them. Crunch rested a bunch of guys that night. Laval's won, what, 5 of 8 this year against Syracuse, but several of those losses by the Crunch came earlier in the season and, of course, in the regular season finale when they chose to rest guys. So with that being said, Lucas, how does Syracuse match up with the Rocket?
Yeah, I think they are two very similar teams, and that's kind of been the vibe we've gotten, you know, not only over the course of the regular season, but this week talking to the folks here getting set for this match. They're very similar in their approaches to the style of game, their approach to games. They're teams that have to kind of grind it out a little bit. I know the Crunch have been scoring a ton over the last couple of months, but early on in the year, they couldn't really score. They had to grind it out. They kind of kept that style. They just have found more offense of late. So it's a really good matchup. It's very odd, though. You know, you mentioned Laval won 5 of the 8, and you can throw out that last game of the regular season. I'm out here watching a lot of the quote-unquote Black Aces who are not, they're here, they're not necessarily, they're here as an insurance purpose, and they were playing that final game of the regular season for the Crunch. They're practicing now, so you don't expect them to play off lineup for Syracuse, but that's the only game that was won by a road team all season in the regular season series. Well, Laval is an excellent home team. The Crunch are obviously an excellent home team. And the series was so close, but the games weren't. It was so odd. 6 of the 8 games were 3 goals or more in terms of the final score, the difference. So we'll see. It's the playoffs. Things always tighten up. We've seen as the Calder Cup playoffs have begun solely overtime games and one-goal games. I'd expect a lot of that here in the series. Crunch goaltending has been tremendous. Max Legacy has been so good. Laval's got a couple of good goaltenders. The depth in both organizations is excellent right now. So, really, it's like splitting hairs, I think. The series, I wouldn't be surprised if it goes 5, and I think it's going to be an excellent series from start to finish.
All right, I guess last one for you, Lucas. You know, from a Crunch perspective, what does this series come down to? Give us the blueprint for success for the Crunch in this second round series.
over the last couple of months, your MVP is with Max Legace, and if he continues to be as effective as he was down the stretch, he was the goaltender of the month in the AHL in April, 17-2-2 record in his final 21 decisions. So if he continues to play well, and keep in mind, he only played twice all season against Laval out of 8 matchups. So the Rocket haven't seen a ton of him. He was 1-1. He was really good in the one game, and the one he lost, he was also good. The Crunch just didn't score. So if he's as good as he was down the stretch of the Crunch, and if their depth and their offense continues to produce, they'll be in a very good spot. And, you know, playoff special teams is always a factor. The Crunch's special teams wasn't great most of the year, but they were getting good down the stretch. So if all of that continues to go their favor, and if they can, obviously, they just need to take care of home ice advantage if they can do that as well. I like their chances, but I do think it's going to be a very competitive series one way or the other.
All right, all gets underway tomorrow night, 7 o'clock inside the War Memorial. Lucas Favalli will be on the call. Lucas, appreciate you coming out. Thanks so much.
All right, anytime. Hopefully it's a long run here. We can do it again.
All right, and you can listen to the Crunch and the Rocket right here on ESPN Radio tomorrow night, beginning at 6:45. Again, the puck drops at 7. And coming up next, we will continue the hockey talk. Mike Monaco from ESPN will join us. He's calling the Stanley Cup playoffs. We're back after this on ESPN Radio.
Watch your favorite ESPN Syracuse sports talk shows on QSportsTalk.com. This is Orange Nation with Stephen Bonte and Pauly Sebelia.
Hour number 2 of Orange Nation underway on ESPN Radio. Stephen Pauly with you up until 2 o'clock. Just one guest lineup for you here in hour number 2. We've got Christy Dosh at the end of the show, sports business reporter for Forbes. We're going to have her on to talk NIL. But up until then, phone lines are open if you want to check in at 315-437-7644. We're going to open up hour number 2 by circling back to something we talked about on the show yesterday.
Something we should have talked about on the show yesterday.
Well, we talked about it. We just didn't have the sound for it.
Yes. So what it is Coach Boeheim kind of said, we are going to basically get a backup center out of the portal if we can.
Yes.
And he described it as not actually a bad situation for somebody that's a backup center.
We have actually a good situation for a young developing center. Come in and play against Jesse every day in practice, which will be good. Jesse gets in foul trouble. Jesse has played 27 minutes a game here. So a backup center, who is truly a backup, not quite ready, this is a perfect situation for him. Play 10, 15 minutes a game, learn how to get better. And if Jesse has a great year, he could leave. And now you could be a starter. Yeah. Or if he stays, you're still going to play. So it's a good situation for that. If a guy just strictly wants to start, then not a good situation. But that guy might not start anywhere else either. There's no guarantees.
It's interesting because he just described Frank Anselm.
Yes.
And it'll be interesting to see if Frank Anselm is a starter.
I think he will.
At Georgia. You think he's going to you're going to pencil him in as the starter?
He's not playing Georgia football.
I know. Right. And we talked about that. If he was going to go Power 5, he had to go, you know, Georgia struggled last year. But he described exactly what Frank was. He was not quite ready, but he could come in, he could do a good job.
And he would have been the man next year.
Right, and he was an injury away from being the starter, or foul trouble, you know, away from being in the game for long stretches, and that was his role this year. You know, but as he said, if you want to be a starter, this isn't the right spot for you. Frank obviously wants to be a starter. We'll see if it pays off. I mean, again, there are no guarantees. There aren't. I mean, we saw Quincy, we saw Kadari. You know, they both started, but you know, they didn't necessarily, you know, in case of Quincy, he got less time. His stats were worse. Kadari got about the same time, and his stats were a smidge better. There is a risk anytime you transfer. So we'll see what happens with Frank. But, Frank was the ideal backup situation and the ideal backup center. Now you got to go and try to find one.
So my take on this is it's the complete opposite of what happened last year where they grabbed guys quickly. I feel like this will play out better if there's a kid that's good that nobody went after, you know, that's looking for a lot of minutes, but then, hey, Syracuse rolls around and that's a good option if nobody wants me to play starters minutes, you know?
Yeah. I mean, I think they can afford to be a little patient this year because they don't have as many glaring holes. Like when I think Quincy, I thought there was, to me, that was unexpected. Quincy leaving was unexpected.
Yes.
Kadari leaving, not as much, but you felt like you had your starting guards, whether he stayed or left, you know, you had your starters. Quincy leaving, you kind of had to jump quickly because that was a starting position that you were trying to replace. Frank was not a starter, so I think they can afford to be a little bit more patient this time around because you're not just grabbing and, well, you know, if we don't grab a guy, you know, we're going to have a major hole in our roster. Jesse's the starter. They need somebody to be a backup.
Yeah, and Quincy Ballard, we were just discussing, he got the opportunity to start at a different school, so he went there.
Right.
Now Syracuse is still looking for a backup, and I think they'll get one. Because I have a feeling this year's going to have, especially at the center position, you know, it's a completely different position now. And I just feel like the longer you wait, the kids that left that didn't play last year that are capable of giving you 10 minutes will still be there.
There's probably some truth to that.
As it goes along.
But you make sense every once in a while.
Thank you.
That one makes sense. Jim Boeheim would not call you an idiot for that.
When I also would say they could, with that said, they could announce in 2 minutes that they have they have a new backup center. So,
but to your point, they don't have to just take the first guy. They can take somebody who they think could come in and contribute.
Right. And, you know, as I was saying also yesterday, and Coach Boeheim kind of hit on that, they don't have a veteran forward, but he kind of made it sound like Benny's that guy this year.
He's the most veteran forward.
Yeah, but if there's anybody that could give lessons to the freshmen about being freshmen, Benny Williams. So
right. Yeah, I mean that this team they're young in a lot of ways, but you've got your veteran leadership is your backcourt. Samir and Joe have both played a lot of basketball, and Jesse, although he's kind of a quiet leader, he's played a lot of basketball in this program. But yeah, from the forward position, you know, Benny's certainly the most veteran of that group. And, you know, we were skeptical all along about whether or not he was going to stay. And he just, you know, I give him credit. He's sticking it out and he's going to put in the work this offseason. And I think we're going to see a different player.
Yeah. People asking about the freshman center. He's clear, not ready, as we've heard Coach.
About Peter Carey?
Yeah. We've heard that from everybody.
Yeah.
He's small. He's got a.
Well, he's tall, but he's not big. Yeah, he's got to put on muscle.
Put on some muscle. He's got to bulk up. He's got to be bulky.
He's got to be bulkier.
Yes, got to bulk up a little bit.
Do you want to revisit that conversation?
No, we're rehashing old jokes on the show. Your centers need to be bulky.
Yeah.
Steve, well, they
and they were. This was a bulkier team this year.
Yes, not a better, like a winning team, but boy, was it bulky.
Yeah. See where how far that got them. They were bulkier. Anyway.
Are we done?
Yes.
By the way, if you haven't seen it, I know Jordan's. If you haven't seen it, Jim Boeheim on Eric Diefendorf and Chris Joseph yesterday and myself, you know, it was fun. He talked about a lot of stuff.
And it's on QSportsTalk.com.
QSportsTalk.com.
You can find a replay of that and play it at your convenience.
Yeah, and
it's worth your time.
Julie was in the background. Their dog made an appearance. It was a lot of fun. He rehashed the Not 10 Games story.
Yep.
There was an article written on that, how he may have overstated it. But he's got to have his players back. It's a great listen. He talked about the Lemoyne loss. We hit on a lot of things from his career.
All right, go to QSportsTalk.com.
He broke down Raph Addison's career for us also.
Is that right?
Yes.
Well, how did that come up?
Because I'm a big Raph. Like,
you brought it up.
Yeah, you don't realize he was all Big East with Pearl, Mullen, Pickney, and Ewing. And nobody talks about him.
Yeah.
You know, when you talk about the old Big East, you don't talk about Raph Addison. How is that guy's number not retired? He averaged more points than all of them but one. I can't remember who it was. I think it was Ewing.
Well, you can watch back, QSportsTalk.com, and remind yourself. Certainly worth your time. All right, phone lines remain open at 315-437-7644. We're going to play Buy or Sell next. You're listening to Orange Nation on ESPN Radio.